Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to hear from your guys. We want to hear what Booty has to say. We want to hear what Cash has to say about what went wrong this season and why the Yankees once again come up empty as far as it goes chasing, championship number 28. So I'm sure I expect fireworks, BT. Some people have taken some shots at them. A-Rod, Jeter, we know what happened there. And obviously falling short, the Blue Jays, the Yankees lose things. So there's a lot there. I'm expecting some fireworks today from both Boone and Cashman.
What do you think is the most important topic, aside from fireworks or us having fun with the bingo game,
yeah,
like the most pressing big issue for this team?
I would like to hear about roster construction. Like, if you're that's what I think. But I don't expect that to change. I mean, it's the same old stuff. So I believe that they're going to say the same thing, double down on their young players, and we're going to be fine. And we won 94 games. And so I don't expect the. I would like to hear that. Look, obviously, for me, what I would want to hear is, look, obviously, what we're doing is not working. Like, yeah, we went to the World Series a year ago, but it wasn't good enough. We fell short. We were overmatched by the Dodgers. It was a weaker competition in the American League. This year, we thought we had the best team that we've had since 2018, and we couldn't even get to the championship series. So we've got work to do as far as rethinking the way that we build our
roster. Oh, they're never going to say that, even if we wish they would. You know they'll never say that.
Well, why would they?
Yeah, I mean they're just not going to embrace that. Cashman is not going to give us that crumb, that morsel of satisfaction. You know, the other thing you have to understand, too, here, guys, like, I know we all want certain names thrown around, like, all right, what about Bellinger? What are they going to do with Grisham to a lesser extent?
Yeah, they can't.
Exactly. That's where I was going. These guys are free agents, so, you know, they'll express, hey, we love Bellinger. Grisham had a big year. We'll see, you know, they're free agents for a reason, whatever. There is some controllability. That's a word you probably hear. Throw that on the bingo card.
What word?
Controllability. They do Cashman likes that. There's some controllability with Grisham because they could offer him the qualifying offer. But what I'm curious about, I don't know if this needs to be central, but at some point I would like to get a clear medical update on Gerrit Cole. Like, is Gerrit Cole ready opening day? Like, is Gerrit Cole going to be ready on opening day? And if he is, I mean, you know, and do they really believe that he's going to be Gerrit Cole? Because if they do, and I think at some point he's going to get back to being very close to Gerrit Cole, and then that obviously sets up a Fried and a Schlitler and Rodon lesser extent dynamic. And then the other thing you want to hear about is, what are we doing with payroll? Because Kyle Tucker's out there, Bo Bichette. Now, I don't think they're going to make a move for Bichette at all. Number one, he's a horrible defensive player, and I think they're going to roll with Volpe once more. So are they going to spend some more money? Those are things we got to hear, got to be asked, and they will.
Yeah, and that's when they're going to say, well, we have the full support of ownership, which is on the BT and Sal bingo card. If you want to play along, check it out. Did I retweet it yet? I think I wanted to retweet
it.
Okay. So there you go. Go to our personal Twitter accounts, and you can find. Yes, I did.
Yeah, those are actually active.
Little BT and Sal bingo. Let's get back to the calls here on the Jets and Aaron Glenn and some Giants as well. Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, boys. How we doing there?
Good.
Hey, don't believe we're still talking about the Jets. I was kind of shocked to start off like that. But again, we got to give Glenn a Muji, and I'm not talking a year. This has got to be a couple-year project, and I hope they turn it around. We talked about it on Monday, but it is getting upsetting with Glenn. And it's an organizational thing. Your other caller touched on it before. I wanted Aaron Rodgers. We spoke about this. And the season last year, I wanted Rodgers. He put up some of the best Jet numbers as a quarterback, and we bailed on him too quick. I know it was a Woody thing, but Muji and Glenn should have some kind of input on that and stay a quarterback. And then what we do, we go out and get Fields, and it shows you where our organization is in Pittsburgh. Fields is 4-2 as a Pittsburgh starter. They bench him for Russell. They made the right decision then last year. And he did it again this year.
Yeah,
they picked up
Charlie,
and look at the years he's having.
Yeah, but you're missing something. And I feel like everybody seems to miss this because it doesn't fit the crush the Jets narrative, which I'm always happy to do because they always earn it. But you got to be fair. The Steelers wanted Justin Fields back. They wanted him more than Russell. They did not want Russell Wilson at all. Now, Justin Fields will not be part of this turnaround, whatever, if there is one under Aaron Glenn. But I can't crush them. It's a fairly nominal financial commitment.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Boomer was talking about this morning. It's not starter money. It's not backup money. It's Band-Aid money.
For Justin Fields.
For Justin Fields. So we're not going to go nuts on that.
Well, by the way, the overreaction like Justin Fields is a horrible trash quarterback now is ridiculous. By the way, he might have been playing banged up. Like he's
that's
had
the concussion.
Yes.
I know. Yeah,
he's already had a concussion here.
Yeah.
There was some thought, and I saw some reports on this, that maybe he wasn't all there for this game.
So he cleared protocol, but he's still a little foggy.
Okay.
Happens all the time.
And now, I'm not excusing him. I don't think he's a great thrower of the football. However, Justin Fields is not as bad as he was against Denver, which also, if you heard me all week, I've been saying it wasn't about Justin Fields being awful. It was about how good Denver's defense is. And maybe Giant fans are going to find that out with Jackson Dart. We'll find out Sunday. But I think they have the best defense in the NFL. It's not an excuse. Justin Fields needs to be better or at least needs to throw the football, not just hold on to it forever. But maybe Denver's defense combined with not being 100% all there for whatever reason, maybe that could be an issue. But he's not that bad. He's not great. He's not going to be the answer future-wise. He could win you some games. He's not that bad.
He should have won the first game. Yeah. I was kind of enthused. Not getting that over the top crazy, but I was happy when the Jets got him. I thought they'd run the ball and all that stuff. And by the way, have you ever had a concussion like that
you know of? No.
Okay.
Not even, knock on wood, never close.
Oh, God bless you. Yeah. They're not fun.
Well, right? I didn't play football.
No, I mean, I only played tackle for a couple of years. I actually got it in the street. I was trying to score a touchdown to get to the telephone pole. My buddy stepped on my foot. And literally, my face hit the concrete. I mean, wow. So I did, and I had another one in college. Either way, when you get concussed, right, just put yourself in Justin Fields' shoes. It's one thing to be cleared protocol. All right, I'm good enough to function. I'm ready. I can play. But his game is built on speed and elusiveness, and he's not afraid of contact. But if you're coming off a concussion, are you that willing to run? So the best part of his game has been it's been neutralized.
Well, and it certainly was neutralized by Denver's defense because he wasn't able to run anywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. But he also looked reluctant to run.
Understood.
Which is what I'm saying.
Understood. He doesn't want to throw to begin with. Like, he'll
throw. Now he doesn't want to run either.
Well, he doesn't want to throw. There was nowhere to run with Denver, which made it so much worse. You know, I was thinking back to, man, have I ever even been close to a concussion? And one time at Home Depot, when I was, you know, I was a cashier at Home Depot, and I was either ringing somebody up or helping, you know, one of the cute girls that I was trying to flirt with there, helping her ring people up. I was not paying attention, and somebody, a customer, dropped a huge piece of wood. It wasn't a 2x4.
Was it hacksaw? So it wasn't hacksaw, Jim
Duggan?
No,
it wasn't that, but something like that.
All right.
Hit me right in the head.
So you're at the cashier, and they were above your head?
Well, think about a huge piece of wood.
That they were getting ready to buy?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I got you.
I wasn't, like, looking at it. It came from a different direction, and it knocked me right on top of my head, and I fell over and was a little woozy when I got up.
So you did. Maybe you did have
one. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't need the smelling salt or anything like that, but be careful. If you're out there around Home Depot and a cashier, you never know what could happen with the lumber.
I guarantee the lumber. I guarantee Hoff's had a few. Hoff, you must have been nicked up a million times, right? Playing hockey?
I mean, I probably did, but I don't remember. I mean, listen, after hearing Willie Colon, after Willie Colon told me that, like, when you see, like, the bright lights or the flashing lights or whatever it is, you probably had a concussion, then I've definitely had at least five that I can remember.
Okay.
Mike is calling from Maywood, New Jersey. What's up? What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So with the Giants, right, so obviously the ownership is letting these guys use the draft picks and stuff like that. What do you think else has to happen this year to open up these negotiations with Daboll and Shane? Like, do they have to wait till the end of the year? Are they going to do this in the offseason? Or do you think as an organization, if you know these are the guys, do you think they should lock them up before the season ends?
You don't know yet. So it's still the evaluation period. Dart's the guy, we would imagine. Daboll and Dart might be the union together. But, I mean, listen, Brian Daboll has not earned, you know, a midseason extension because you could do it, and then you could lose four straight, and the schedule gets soft at the end. And if they don't play well at the end, softer. And if they don't play well at the end, then all the good energy of whatever transpired so far goes out the window. You're going to wait. Who's trying to snatch up Brian Daboll?
Yeah, no, you could make this decision. I wouldn't say you'd have to wait till the end of the year. You could make this decision with, let's say, 3-4 weeks to go in the season. You're not going to make that decision now. 2 weeks ago, everybody wanted them fired. 3 weeks later, it's like, oh, let's extend them. And I would keep that. We made this decision once they made the decision to bring Dable and Shane back, to me, it was going to be beyond this year. It had to be with the thought process to next year already. So this is nothing new. This is not overreacting to just 3 weeks of success with Jackson Dart. I would not be willing to break up that pair, dating back to before Jackson Dart was even selected, thinking that when they do, in fact, take the rookie quarterback, which they had to, then I want to see more than just 1 year. So I think it's just a matter of time before Brian Dable will get extended here. But it can't completely go off the rails over the next few weeks.
Well, that's why I wouldn't even, like, with a month to go, I'm going to wait this thing out. If I was worried about somebody coming to steal him and knocking down his door, who's knocking down Brian Dable's door? I mean, he's lucky he's back with the Giants now. Let's be honest.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.